Good morning.
I am so tickled to have a chance to be in front of you again. And I'm going to embarrass somebody. Now that I have a chance to do services regularly, I really appreciate a pianist who can play so wonderfully and play to people who can sing. I have been to many churches where they play beautiful music, but they can't play along with somebody singing, and it's tough. But Sue can hear how we go up and down and speed up and slow up, and she's right with us. That is a great skill. So we had numerous announcements up, several meetings. We have the sign up for the Catherine Drexel meal. We got a chance to talk to somebody from missions this morning. You feel free to bring anything that you're going to send along, like the veggie tray, the salad, or the cookies. 6 dozen cookies minimum they need. And you bring it to church, leave it, and they're hopefully going to be there by 3. So as you come to worship, you can just bring your little offering for St. Drexel, and everything would be fine. With that amount of cookies, as I said before, there's never leftover cookies, so if we get too many, that'll be perfectly fine. There was several other announcements up there. It's getting to be the time of year when fall is officially here, so we have to start thinking about poinsettias, about getting a pastor back and forth because he can't ride his bike in the snow, even though I told him it would be cute to see if he had snow tires. He didn't smile on that. He does need more rides. We do need more liturgists and the like. In fact, I think we need one for next Sunday. Feel free, if you have little people, you can bring them up, and you don't have to do every service like Jane does. Jane, I, and Steve, and Linda have been here throughout everything, so we're getting to get to know each other real well. There's a list right when you go up to coffee hour for what the food pantry could use, and I think Jacob alleged to this about a month ago. They're in desperate need of underwear and socks, and I mean, such a simple gift to allow someone to still feel human. Who would want to wear somebody else's products of those, or want to wear the same outfit for a week? Pretty much whatever you have in your house that is comfortable and that you use, they could use. And it boggles your mind when you look around Waupun and you know how good people got, what jobs they got, that there's farms all around, and the amount of people that need that kind of help. It's really a nice way to help those people. Our resident artist has a display in Beaverdam or Fond du Lac? Yes, you. Oshkosh. I'm sorry, when it gets bragged on Facebook and you see the beautiful art, you have to talk about it. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to be made aware of?
I just have a quick announcement about Salvation Army gathering. It seems like December 5th and 6th is a good weekend for most people that are from the Astros. They're able to do it December 5th and 6th, and they would like to have some more people, because last year I believe they said they did it for like 8 hours, and they need a lot more help. They have to get right at Walgreens.
And it is getting to be that time. I believe we still have some vacancies on our boards and committees and the like. If you have that type of calling, please get hold of Jacob, myself, or Ms. Newman. And I think any group would be glad to have an extra. I think there's only a couple that are completely filled off the top of my head. I think education and music probably don't have openings, and I think everybody else does. And a special plea to something that I am leaving. Diaconate could use a fistful of people. It's not a bad job. Plenty of fun people. You get to see some of the stuff around. And with giving rides to Jacob, have the courage to do that. It's a blessing that we have that we don't even know about. Very few churches have a chance where you can be sealed up in a vehicle with the pastor for 10, 15 minutes, and you can pick his brain. So, you know, you can do some of those one-on-one things, share some things that you don't want to say at church or whatever. It's actually really a funky, neat thing. And if you take him to a coffee shop, you might be able to be stuck with him even longer. So we all come from different faiths and different backgrounds. Each of us probably has a different Lord's Prayer in their head and heart and some different words to the songs. Let yourself go. Whatever you feel in your heart and in your head, use those words, because that's what you're always going to remember. So let us take a moment to say hi and pass the peace with one another, and do us a favor for yourself and us. Don't sit down when you're done, because Jane's going to tell you to stand up anyways. So go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Okay, I think it's time to worship. Please join me in the call to worship. I call God to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Therefore, we will wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you today with grateful hearts. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you. We thank you for your love and your grace. We pray that you would be with us during this service, and as we separate and go our own ways at the end. We pray that you would open our hearts to your word and that we would be transformed by your spirit. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen.
So you can be seated, and Becky and little people, if you would like to come up.
Hello. I guess I'm a little people too. Good morning. Okay. Ashlyn, you coming up? Not today. Today my grandma. Hey, Jasper, come on over. Are my note cards there? I need my note cards. Oh, well, look at this crew. All right. How are you guys? Are you good? Are you good? I should mention, we got two birthdays up here. Can you say your name and how old you turn? Yeah.
They're both They're both six.
What's your name?
Oliver.
Oliver? Oops, let me try this again. Now the green light's on. Oliver.
Oliver.
And how old did you turn?
Six.
Six?
Trayton.
Trayton? And you're going to turn?
Six.
Oh my gosh, you're both turning six. Well, happy
birthday.
One was on the 8th and one was on the 15th.
We're both four.
You're both four? Oh, wow.
No, you guys are really good.
All right.
We're both four and a half.
Yeah. You're both four and a half. That's important. All right. We got four and a half all the way up to, what are you guys, 9, 8? 9? What? 8? 8 and 9. All right, so now we know everybody.
Well, we didn't ask Becky, but we're not going to.
No, it's way up there. Yeah. I'm in double digits. So that puts me at what, 11?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
We have a whole cousins.
Do you remember that we're working on a team this fall? And we have this big teamwork theme, remember? And every time we say God, we say on God's team, and then we point where? Where? Up, because that's representing heaven, right? Mm-hmm. We point up in heaven.
God cannot see you.
God can't see you? I think he can see us. We can't see him. Yes. All right, so.
Because he's invisible.
He is invisible.
He likes bunnies.
And he likes bunnies.
Yes.
God likes bunnies.
You both like bunnies.
All right. Well, on God's team, we point up. Can you point up? On God's team, we said life was better with two thumbs up. Remember doing that?
Life was better.
Okay. And then that was, what, 3 weeks ago? And then 2 weeks ago, we pointed up and we said, on God's team, players show respect. And we do a little bow. Because that shows respect, right? And today is a new one. We're going to pat our chest because on God's team, players do their part. And we just pat our chest. Can you repeat after me? On God's team, on God's team, players do their part. Players do their part. Good job. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about players doing their part. Are you guys a part of a family?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of you are part of a family.
Yeah.
Do you have to do your part at home?
They're cousins.
Yeah, they're cousins. You got your cousins.
All of us four and including all of five.
Yeah, because you have a little, there's a baby cousin too, right?
Yeah, he has to stay home because it's little.
It's little.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you have to play a part at home? Do you guys have to do your part at home? What are your parts? Do you have any chores or anything? Do you do anything, Jasper? Well, I know you help out at home, and I know Blake does too. Do you guys help out at home?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I wash the tables.
You wash off the table. What do you do, Blake? I know you do a lot. Come on.
Feed and water the dog and water my mom's.
Yes, and you water the mom's mom. Mums and take care of the dog.
Oh, I feed the dogs.
You feed the dogs too?
I feed the dogs too.
You feed the dogs too? Jasper, I believe you have animals by you too.
Yeah.
Do you help out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he helps with the animals. All right. So we all have to do our part. What would happen if you stopped feeding the dog? The dog would die. Yeah. Well, we don't want that. What would happen if you stopped watering the mums?
They'll die.
They'll die. Oh my gosh. We got someone falling asleep over there. All right. Yes, we all have.
I have 2 puppies.
You have 2 puppies. That's awesome. Yes, well, we all have to do our part to make our homes a happy place and to make our puppies happy and
Oliver,
our mums happy.
Oliver and my brother. Yeah. Brothers too.
Yeah.
Oliver's your brother, and then you have 2 cousins too, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I have one more cousin.
Yeah. And you have one more cousin.
It's Tegan.
Tegan is the baby. Okay.
No,
we're gonna let pass.
Tegan's not. It's one of our cousins, not the baby. Eli's.
That's nice.
Yes. We're going to let John lead us in prayer today. Can you guys fold your hands for us? And we're going to repeat after John.
Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Thank you for choosing us to be on your team.
Thank you for choosing us to be on your team.
When we look to the sidelines.
When we look to the sidelines.
We see you cheering.
We see you cheering.
If you had a car.
If you had a car.
You'd have our name on your bumper sticker.
You'd have our name on your bumper sticker.
Help coach us. To be the best Christians that we can be.
To be the best Christians we can be.
And help us. Teach other members of the team. How the game is played. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, those steps were easier to get off of 10, 15 years ago. So if you could rise if you're able, and let's join together hymn 550, We Are the Church, and it should be on the screens also.
Be seated. Throughout the Bible, there are many parables regarding the mustard seed. First, regarding faith. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. or in Matthew 17, verse 20. Because you have little faith, he said, I assure you that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it will go. There will be nothing that you can't do. And then regarding God's kingdom, Luke 13, verses 18 through 21. Jesus asked, what is God's kingdom like? To what can I compare it? It's like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in a garden. It grew and developed into a tree, and the birds in the sky nested in its branches. Again, he said, to what can I compare God's kingdom? It's like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour, until the yeast had worked its way through the hole. Here ends our readings. May we be blessed by God's holy words.
Thank you, Jane, for all the work that you've helped with today. So if you give me a moment of personal prayer. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, and that you have guided my thoughts, and give me the proper words to say that will touch our hearts and change our lives. I pray that you would use this message to draw those who hear it closer to you and help us all to grow in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Alana found some really neat graphics for this. And I think a while back, a couple months ago, I mentioned that there's a distinct church member who kind of gets a little peeved when we come across the old parables and hear the same old story again. But I think I'm going to influence that person that there's some things that we didn't usually hear. And maybe I'll check with that person afterwards. So until I started meditating and looking on the scripture, I didn't realize all the variations of the mustard seed parable. I knew the faith one. We all did. If your faith is only the size of a mustard seed, you can do great things. Christ had a neat thing going there with the parables. He took common everyday things and told a story or a metaphor about them and helped us to understand things that weren't all that ordinary and weren't all that special. There are things and times where people claim that, you know, the disciples maybe were the duh people. They were with Jesus all the time and they didn't get what was going on. Well, they had to learn too. I'm not sure they were all that naive or intellectually challenged, but this was a whole new idea. Christ was a rabble-rouser. He wasn't what everybody was expecting. He wasn't the standard Jew guy. So mustard seeds are small, round seeds of various plants, and they come in various colors. They're usually about 1 to 2 millimeters, which is 1/32 to 3/32 in diameter, and may be colored from yellow to black. And I have props. So just so that you got an idea, you all easily see the 20 mustard seeds in here, right? You know, they're huge. They're still in there. Maybe a good comparison is about the size of the point on a sharpened pencil. For those of you wondering, pencils are those wooden things that have erasers on here and that points on here and they scratch your computer screen. That's a pencil. And the mustard seed is frequently referenced in the world of literature, including various religious texts, not just us Christians. It's usually a metaphor for something small and insignificant. Many faiths use the mustard seed story, the Buddhists, the Muslims, and of course the Christians. The Buddhist story involves a woman who lost her son. Buddha asks her to go and bring back a handful of mustard seeds from a family that has never lost a child, husband, parent or friend. The grieving mother is unable to do such a thing after going throughout the village, and she realizes that, unfortunately, death happens to everyone, and she's not alone in the suffering of her grief. In Islam, the mustard seed is mentioned in the Quran, stating to the effect, our soul is placed on the scales of justice the day of resurrection. So no soul will be treated unjustly. And if there is even the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it forth. Muhammad said that he who has the heart, has in his heart the weight of a mustard seed of pride, will not enter paradise. The Jewish text compares the noble universe to the size of a mustard seed to demonstrate just how really insignificant we are and to show humility. And now that we have NASA and space travel, it's sometimes hard to think that we're the all-important people that we are when you look and we've got satellites still going on into space, that there are millions of stars which are suns around other planets. Maybe we should have a little humility. But throughout all this, what someone looks at as something tiny, small, and insignificant can be something truly important. Think of what Jane read to us. Can you picture being able to move a mountain or command a tree to uproot itself and fly into the sea? These are incredible feats. And yet our readings tell us that if you have just a tiny bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, you can have these abilities. And can you imagine if you can move a mountain with a speck, what you can do with faith the size of a quarter, the size of a half dollar, a dinner plate, faith the size of a house? Something to think about. And the imagery of the kingdom of God as a mustard seed. That was a little different. Because I've always pictured the heavens huge and fulfilling and great. But it had to start someplace, didn't it? God planted that little speck in our hearts, and we care for it. We grow it through knowledge, studying, prayer, and our understanding of the kingdom of God grows. It grows big and strong. It becomes a tree, a bush, something that birds can land on from a speck. Going through that, I pictured the tree of life symbol. I think a lot of you have seen it. It's a big, sturdy trunk, huge branches, beautiful foliage, and usually wrapped around in a circle. And that's a kind of a neat way to picture the kingdom of God. Now, through all the verses that Jane read, and I realize they were snippets, but it was getting the point across, notice the seed doesn't just sit there. It grows. It matures. The writers say into a tree. Most of the mustard plants I've seen I would call a bush, but they are still this honking big thing from a speck. So strong that birds of the air can land on its branches from a speck. From a bit of faith, a speck of faith, to a disciple. From a tiny bit of hope to everlasting life that we're told will have mansions and love and peace and compassion will abound. You know, another comparison, in order to have the oceans that we have, which cover, what, two-thirds of the earth, they had to start with one drop. If there wasn't that one drop, we wouldn't have the vast oceans. Or maybe our purpose is to just plant the seed. And maybe that idea will slowly grow. Isn't it true that doing something is better than sitting around and doing nothing? But maybe you'll have an idea, a thought, a bit of scripture that will lodge in somebody's heart and mind. You'll have to have patience, because not everything grows instantly. All of you who are gardeners know you don't put a plant in the earth, sprinkle some water on it, and tomorrow you're picking the tomatoes. It takes time. It takes good conditions. It takes a little TLC. But even if you're the one planting that speck, it's good that you're doing it. And it's good that you're giving it a chance to grow. So take time to use the gifts and talents that we've been given. Work on your faith. And there's not a single one of us here who can't do that. Don't put your mustard seed in a closet, away from sun, moisture, and light. Because then it can't grow. And just kind of withers and dies. You, your gifts, your faith, they're all special. And it would be a loss if you allowed it to disappear and die. If your faith and talents aren't shared with this congregation, this community, in all of God's communities, it's a loss. And we don't need any loss. Take time and have patience with yourself and others. As I said before, sometimes it takes a while to grow. For there to be faith, all it took was planting a seed. Take time to water and fertilize your faith through prayer, study, and conversation. Watch your seed grow. Watch it turn into this great bush or tree. And then when it gets to be this time of year, gather up the seeds and pass them along to friends and family so that they have a chance to have that tree and that bush grow in their lives. And as we continue on, maybe the whole world can be covered in mustard plants. I know the environmentalists and the ecologists would be against that, but you know where I'm going. The plant is our faith in the kingdom of God. We've all got news. We've all got opinions. The world is messed up because of humankind, but humankind can also fix it. What a great and neat idea if we spread our seeds all over and these plants grow up. And we finally do have the peace, compassion, love, and understanding that Jesus and God meant for us to have. Neat idea. So, tonight, this afternoon when you go home, before the Packer game, work on planting your seeds and see what sprouts. Amen. So, as our wonderful pianist steps over, you guys can rise, and we're going to go to page 72, Great is Thy Faithfulness, page 72 in the screen, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. And you may be seated. And now we enter into a time of prayer. And let us start with a moment of silent prayer where you and God can share together what's in your hearts and in your minds and in your souls. Things that maybe you don't want to share aloud, but that God truly needs to hear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. So, do we have any joys and concerns to share? Well, I'm going to try this a second time, and my wife will probably correct me again. Last night, we got a chance to finally finish our project for this fall. I now have two new nephews and one new niece. Two of Linda's family and one of mine all got married, and we now have a much bigger and wonderful family. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Anybody else? Anything, Alana, from the people at home or yourself? Well, that's great then. So let us pray together. Almighty God, thank you for this day and all of our days. We know each is a gift from you to us. Thank you for the companionship of others, for giving us the chance to gather here and there and be able to share our stories, our beliefs, and even our fears. We pray for all those who are hurting, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or any other way. We especially pray here for Roger, Wanda, Teresa, Sandra, Chanda, Mike, Paul H. and Paul R., the Laird family, Kathy, Barbara, Shirley, and Kevin. We know you are known as the Great Comforter. So for those in our hearts and those we've noted, please grant peace, compassion, and love to all those who are in need and are afflicted. Watch over all that's going on in this country and the world around us. Help people solve conflicts without violence. Teach them the words compromise and consensus and show them what they really mean. Teach them the musical word harmony, a blending of many voices that work together to create one beautiful song. And finally, thank you for this place and places where we go, where we can forget our worries and our difficulties, for giving us comfortable places to live, to make them into sanctuaries amidst the chaos of the world. And let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us and aloud. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We now take a moment to offer up our gifts, whether they be a tithe, a talent, or a prayer. The ushers will come by, there's boxes in the back, there's ways over the internet. Any way that you can give and help is greatly appreciated. And if we could share in the prayer of dedication, Creator, please accept and bless these gifts. Help them to grow and to be used in a manner that is true and respectful of you. Amen. And a nice closing hymn, 716, God be with you. 716. So we're coming to an end. I've given you all the farming advice I think I can give you. Take care of your seeds. Keep them warm. Keep them fertilized. Take care of them. And hopefully we all sprout into big and beautiful trees. And if you notice somebody whose tree isn't doing so good, go over and help tend to their crop, too. So as we end, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Service starts as we walk out the door.